Chapter 3. God's people were set free from Egypt. 1. Example of God's people when they were set free from Egypt. Many years ago, the people of God were enslaved because of their sins. The people were caught up with the things of this world, believing in the things of this world, in the people of this world, the governments, etc. It was only a matter of time, and these very people in whom they trusted enslaved them. Then, with a strong hand, God used Moses to deliver them. Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh would not let the people go, because he was arrogant. He was powerful. Pharaoh thought, "My word is law, what I say goes." He was arrogant, so he did not let the people go and serve God. What did God do? He punished Pharaoh and his regime with plagues. The plagues. The first plague came and everyone thought, "Oh, it's a coincidence." The second plague came and they said, "This is nothing." Then came the third plague. The fourth, until there were so many that Pharaoh could not stand it. And one day Pharaoh cursed God's people. "If I see you again, I will kill everyone." The people of God cannot be cursed, because no weapon formed against us can prevail. Whatever the wicked say against us, that is what will fall upon them. It is God's law of sowing and reaping. One day when Jesus was arrested, Peter tried to defend Jesus by using a sword to kill the soldier who was going to arrest Jesus. The soldier managed to avoid the blow, but Peter's sword still cut off his ear. Jesus took the ear, healed the soldier, and told Peter in Matthew chapter 26, verse 52. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." God gives instructions to Moses, "Speak to all the congregation to take a lamb without blemish and to make a sacrifice by killing the lamb. Then take the blood of the lamb and smear it on the door of your house so that your house will be protected by the blood of the lamb." The people obeyed and put the blood of the lamb on the door, at the top, bottom, left, and right. This is very important because it represents Christ on the cross, the Lamb sent by God, the Lamb of God. Before Jesus came to earth, people from time to time would come to the temple at scheduled times and brought their lambs, sacrificing them and saying, "Oh God, I have sinned and so I should be condemned. Except the death of this lamb which has no blemish, no sin, I have sinned. Accept this exchange," and God would accept it. When Jesus came, he was called the Lamb of God, so that once and for all a lamb sent by God would die in our place. The sealed doors. Going back to the story of Egypt, all the believers obeyed the instructions given to them by God. When the angel of death arrived in Egypt, there were agonizing cries heard throughout the land, from fathers and mothers who saw that their children had died. But nothing evil happened in the houses of the believers, whose doors were sealed with the blood, since they were protected by God. That blood served as a symbol, preventing the angel of death from entering. 2. When a person surrenders their life to Jesus, they are protected by the blood of Jesus. What is the practical application for today? When a person surrenders their life to Jesus, the blood of Jesus is sealed on the door of their hearts, and the angel of death has no way of entering their lives. Today we hear the people of the world shouting, just as in those days, God's people heard their neighbors shouting, "My son is dead. I don't know what's wrong. What do I do now?" We have to understand the comparison. When you hear a neighbor, colleague, friend, etc., crying, "My daughter, my husband is dying of cancer, my son has AIDS, I lost my job." These are the curses in the life of someone who does not walk with God. The curses. These curses are killing people. They are destroying them. These are the demons who punish people. Why? Because people do not listen to God, do not care about God, believe they know everything, mock God's things, mock the house of God and the ministers of God. Then God abandons them and leaves them at the mercy of demons. That is why people are suffering. God's protection. God's people witnessed God's tremendous hand during their time in Egypt. God's people noticed that everyone who had sealed their door with the blood was uninjured. Everyone was dressed and packed, ready to leave Egypt and travel to the promised land. This baptism is about more than just jumping into the water. It is about moving on from where I am, leaving behind my friendships, not hanging out with individuals who disrespect God, not hanging out with individuals who do not want anything to do with God, not associating with people who do not like God. I can no longer associate with people who do not like God. I have to choose to be friends with people who are God's friends. But then my father will become offended. She's my mom. He is my uncle, my cousin. I will certainly not offend God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. The person has to make a decision. Who are you trying to please? Your father, your mother, your employer, the government? I will certainly not offend God. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the most important person of all. 3. The journey begins. At last, the people left Egypt. Pharaoh was devastated because he had been defeated by people who were slaves and who in Pharaoh's eyes were a miserable bunch. Pharaoh invoked his gods, called his priests. He went to their hospitals, to their clinics, just like people today have their gods. But it did him no good. The arrival at the Red Sea. The people left Egypt and were heading towards the promised land. Meanwhile, someone spoke to Pharaoh. Some great Pharaoh you turned out to be. With all that money, with the oil, with the army, with everything at your fingertips, your own religion, and you let your slaves go. And the enraged Pharaoh said, "What? Me? Weak? Defeated? Never." So he went after the people with his mighty army. Meanwhile, God's people were traveling on foot, without weapons, with their children, with their grandchildren, slowly. What chance did God's people have against that army? Zero chance. The lesson to be learned is, by being baptized, you will escape hell and the devil. But do you think the devil will give up? He will not. The devil wants to bring you back to slavery, to the old ways, to old thoughts, to unhealthy friendships. The devil wants to bring you back. So he sends his mighty army after you and you think, "I have no chance. I have to surrender." But you cannot give up. 4. Do not give up on your walk with God. God will make a way for you. The people were at the shore of the Red Sea. They had no way of escaping Pharaoh's army. But Moses lifted his staff, struck the water, and God created a path where none existed. Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. If you don't give up on your walk with God, if you do not falter, if you don't bow down to anyone, God will certainly open a way for you. God will open a way even where there is no way, because Jesus is the way. God will not be with an individual who thinks that a ruler or the system of the world is better or greater than God. Such a person is building their house on sand. Such a person will see misfortune and problems in their life. Why? He has stepped outside of God's protection. We must incorporate this story into our lives, because that is what happens to many people. Those people had no possible salvation. But God did what no one else can do. God made a way where there was no way. Jesus makes a way. Jesus is the same today as he was in those days. He will also make a way in your life where no way currently exists. He even creates things that do not exist just to bless you. If only you don't look back, you don't give up, you don't bow down to other gods, then God says, "Since he believes in me, I will be his God, and for God nothing is impossible. There is no other like him." God wants to see what is in your heart. Why does God allow certain things? Why does it sometimes seem that God is deaf or slow to respond? God's calendar is different from ours. God wants to see who really believes in Him, who really follows God to the point of not exchanging God for anyone else. The burning fiery furnace. When we do not bow down like Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego in the burning fiery furnace, the devil will increase the heat of the furnace twice as much. Daniel 3, if the person continues to not bow down, the devil heats it up 3 times more. The devil heats it up 4 times, until it reaches 7 times more. It seems like God will not appear, but He is there by your side. God was in the midst of the problem. God didn't take the young men out of the problem, but God was with the young men in the midst of the problem. God protected them and delivered them. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." The victory. Meanwhile, God's people passed through the Red Sea. They were traveling on foot with children, suitcases. They were going slowly, and Pharaoh's army had horses and weapons. Why couldn't the army reach the people? What happened? God did something supernatural. Exodus chapter 3, verse 28. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus, it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. God put light in front, so the people could see the way, but He put such profound darkness behind them, that Pharaoh's army could not see God's people. If you trust God, not only will He make a way, but He will make it so your enemy cannot catch up to you. It may seem like they are almost catching up. It may seem like things are getting worse, but they will not reach you, because if God is with you, no one can be against you. The Red Sea opened. It was a mass baptism in water. The baptism of those people was that they left the land of slavery and crossed to the other side. 5. The practical aspect of baptism. All the demons are drowned in the baptism waters. When God's people reached the other side of the Red Sea, Moses touched the water and the sea closed. So all the enemies of God drowned. Exodus chapter 14, verses 26 to 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. 2 things happened. First, the enemy came after the people, even after the people were saved. Second, the enemy was drowned in the Red Sea at the baptism. The most important part when you are baptized in the waters is the practical aspect of baptism. The demons coming after you, whether you knew it or not, are drowned in the water. That is why almost always the person who is going to be baptized is attacked with problems, with strange things happening just before. Why? Because the devil knows that he will be drowned once and for all when the person is baptized in water. 6. After being baptized, there is only one path to walk with God. After the baptism, first, I cannot go back. The sea has already closed. Second, I only have one path, walk with God. The desert. God took the people through the desert before they reached the promised land. But even so, the people did not go hungry in the desert, did not suffer from disease in the desert. Even though they were in the desert, they lacked nothing. It is very important to say this, because many believers do not understand what it is to be saved. They want God's blessing. But they continue to live the same way. But they continue to live the way of the world. But they still have friends who despise God. Many believers are never blessed, or if they are, it is very little, because they continue to believe in Pharaoh's system, because they continue to believe in a man-made system, thinking that this is what will help them, save them, etc. As a result, God becomes angry and refuses to bless these believers. What could be found in the desert? There were no pharmacies or hospitals. There were no houses or cars. There were no shops. There was nothing. So God's people only had one option: depend on God. And that is what God wanted to teach the people. God supplies all our needs. God can supply all our needs, and we don't need anyone else. During that time in the desert, no one was hungry. No one was thirsty. Clothes were not torn nor worn out. There were no sick people. At night in the desert, it can be very cold. The temperatures can reach minus 20 degrees, and during the day it reaches 40 to 50 degrees. But nobody died from the cold because at night God put a fireplace which was the pillar of fire. Nor did anyone die from the heat during the day, because there was a white cloud which provided air conditioning. Exodus chapter 13, verse 22. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God wanted to teach his people, I am your God. I am the one who supplies all your needs. I am the God who heals your infirmities. I am the God who provides for you. I am no longer of this world. I live in this world, but I do not belong to this world. When God led the people through the desert, he wanted to show them many things, but the people's hearts were still full of the world. It is easy for God to save a person from slavery, disease, and poverty, etc. But it is difficult to remove Egypt from their hearts. It is not up to God to remove Egypt from your heart. You have to work on it. In Africa they say, it is easy to remove a monkey from the jungle, but to remove the jungle from inside the monkey's heart, you may dress up the monkey, put him in a suit and tie, put him in a car or an airplane, give him glasses to wear, but I guarantee you that the monkey will always do monkey business. The Bible mentions a man called Nebuchadnezzar. He was emperor over numerous nations. So Nebuchadnezzar's heart was filled with vanity, and he desired to be God. One thing led to another, and God punished him, removed the human spirit, and replaced it with the spirit of a bull. Daniel chapter 4, verse 33. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar, a man with a lot of money and a large army, was seen eating grass like an animal. After a while, God put back the human spirit inside of him to see if he had learned his lesson. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. And at the end of the time I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. King Nebuchadnezzar recognized that God is indeed God. But, for example, King Nebuchadnezzar's son did not learn from his father's story. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 to 32, gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. A mysterious hand appears and begins to write on the wall. In the same hour the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. The king summoned all of his wise men, but not one of them could read it. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing, or make known to the king its interpretation. So the king, Nebuchadnezzar's son, summoned Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, verse 17 to 24. Then Daniel answered, and said before the king, I will read the writing to the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor, but when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. Daniel said, God is calling you a fool. Do you consider yourself a wonderful person, simply because you are king and you have money and an army? You are working with God's instruments. You have exceeded your limit. You should have learned by observing who your father was, what God did to him in order for him to learn his lesson. But you have learned nothing. Daniel chapter 5, verse 25 to 28. And this is the inscription that was written, Mean, Tekel, and Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mean, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. That same night, he died, and his empire, which was built by his father, was given to another's to govern. Here we see that nobody plays with God.